Today is February 14th. We are taping Yeshayahu. We're in the midst of a large section of this book that mentions symbolic names. Yeshayahu had already made reference to the fact that my sons bear these symbolic names, right? Sheyashuv, Meher Shlo Chashbaz. And now we're getting a name that puts those to shame. So we're up to Perek Tes. We're up to Perek Tes Pasuk. Hey. Okay. All right. Let me take one of the Gros Gadols.
Okay.
Inside. Right there.
It's 5 minutes.
Yeah. We'll take the blue one. Okay, so it speaks about a boy that's born to us. He'll bear a burden. And it names him. Okay, the names seem to be El Yoetz, Abiyad, El Gibor, Sar Shalom. Remember, we talked in last class that we're holding out against the Assyrians. Yeshayahu has been waiting for a divine oracle. He's chikisi l'Hashem. He's not hearing anything. Just Hashem just told him, "You'll hold out. You'll defeat the Assyrians." That's an instruction, right? The people are getting very nervous as tens of thousands, 185,000 altogether. These Assyrians, like the dust of the earth, are surrounding Yerushalayim, ready to pounce tomorrow. Maybe this is a good time to surrender, right? Remember, he told him, "You barely have 2,000 soldiers. You don't have soldiers to put on a horse or on a chariot. I have thousands of chariots, horses, and 185,000 men." Who is giving you this advice about holding out that you think is successful? And Rav Shakeh gave the whole list of other nations that fell, other nations that took the choice and are alive and well, and your own 10 tribes after all, right? And he says your God has been weakened anyway. What's this hope that you have in your God? He's been weakened because Chizkiyahu destroyed all of his. You know, that's how they think. Hezekiah was acting according to the halacha by doing that. Right? Why didn't your God help the 10 tribes? Well, Hoshea and Amos answered that. Okay? They were wicked, they were evil, they didn't deserve God's help. But Israel now does, because they're led by Hezekiah, who was a good king. Achaz, you remember, his father, not so good back in chapter 7, but now I want you to name this child who is going to save them. So remember we talked about the four rules of Pshat based on the virgin birth, remember?
Yeah.
Context, Hine, Hora, grammar, Alma, philology, the meaning of the word, and reality. Right? The context is, how would a birth, arguably 600 years from now, from a virgin, give strength to these people today to hold out against the Assyrians? Especially since that kid didn't even help us from the Romans. Right? So, but here we have maybe a different kind of struggle, because this name does seem to refer to some divine references. So there are two different approaches that the commentaries have taken to who this person is. Okay? And let's attack that now, okay? Right. Who is this child?
Are we talking about Emmanuel or Sar Shalom?
Pelioetz El Gibor Abiyad Sar Shalom. Right? But you hit on something. You hit on something. Because there is one approach that says that these three names is referring to God. Okay. Okay, almost everybody understands that Targum, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, everybody understands that these are four different names. It's not one name is Pella, another name is Yoetz. No. It's four different names. Is Pella Yoetz a wondrous advisor? Yoetz is someone who gives Eitza, right? Aviad means everlasting father. El Gibor means a mighty warrior. El meaning mighty. Alright? But it also means God. Okay? And Sar Shalom is Prince of Peace. Okay? So the general approach of Chazal is that this is a reference to Chizkiyah. Based on the next pasuk. Okay, I will tell you Rashi, Radak, the Targum to the pasuk, Malbim. Most commentaries that you know we work with here in this class say that these first three references is to Hashem. Hashem is the Pele Yoetz. He's giving you the advice. Achaz, don't join that coalition. Hizkiyahu, don't accept the surrender to Sater. I'm a Peleoids because if you went to Vegas in both of these cases and asked for odds, the odds in both cases would tell you take the coalition, surrender. Okay? There are people paid a lot of money today to evaluate situations and give odds to that situation. And people go to Vegas and they bet money on those odds, right? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I think the odds makers were in the presidential election was 88% in one and 12% in the other, and the 12% won. Okay? In the beginning of the baseball season, they give you all kinds of odds you can take today on who's going to win the World Series. Right? So if odds makers were going to tell you, should we join this coalition, should we hold out against Assyria, Hashem is saying, I am the Peleoids. I'm telling my prophet Yeshayahu which way to go. Even though it's not the popular decision. Okay? You see, in Yeshayahu's day, the surrender was God's mission. It's God's message. Yeshayahu spends half his book trying to convince Bnei Israel to surrender to the Baalim. The success of our Bayis Sheni hinges on the fact that they would surrender so that they could remain in Israel, so that there would be lots of Jews there when the 70 years are up. So that even large members of the 10 tribes who were scattered would return. So, I'm the Peleoids, God says, and I'm easily Abiyad, I'm the everlasting father. I'm calling your father all the time. Of course, Christians work out with this, you know. El Gibor is God, that's no big deal. All right? So look at the pasuk. Vayikra Shmo, who's calling the name? Peleoids El Gibor Abiyad. Here is his name. He's a Sar Shalom. You will have peace in our time. Look inside. We will have peace in our time. Okay, in fact, what is usually the alternative to surrender? Do you ever play Risk? What's the alternative to surrender?
Fight.
No. Chizkiyahu is the Sar Shalom. If he's strong enough to hold out in all this time, it's going to work. At this point, it's crucial that students of Yeshayahu know what the first chapter of Hosea is about. Listen carefully. Hosea is told to marry a harlot, a famous one, and to have three children with her. Most Sephardic Mefarshim contend that this is a dream, it's a vision, it's not really happening. It's a symbol. The harlot is Israel, Hosea is God. Israel has played the harlot with God by turning to other systems. The three children's names are Yisrael, Lo Ami, Lo Ruchama. Each one a bad portent for Israel. I'm going to scatter you. You're not my people. I have no pity on you. And that's what's happening to the 10 tribes. It's a sign that the 10 tribes are not long for existence. The last verse of this very short first chapter of Sefer Hosea, the last verse says, after saying, I will not have pity on the 10 tribes because they're being scattered, right? The last pasuk says, Ve'ez Yehuda Arachein. But on Yehuda, who Chizkiyahu is ruling, on them I shall have pity. V'hoshatim b'ashem, okay, I will save them in the name of their God. Lo oshiyei v'keshes u'v'cherev u'v'milchama v'susim u'v'farshim. I will not save them with the sword, with the bow, with battle, with horses, and with chariots. In a practical sense, why not? They don't have these things.
Okay.
Come on. Right? The Assyrians told him from the wall, you don't have men to put on a horse. What do you have? Okay? So Hosea says, probably before Yeshayahu, because he precedes Yeshayahu, Yehuda will be saved, and he's telling this to the Jews in the north. You're not long for a kingdom, but Yehuda will be saved. Not with a horse, not with the angel of death. We read about chapter 36 of this very book. Okay? So, that is who we're talking about, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, is Chizkiyahu, the other name is Hashem. That's what most of the Mefarshim explain. Okay? However, Chazal, based on a connection to the next Pasuk, right? Right? Says that this reference is to Chizkiyahu. All the names are Chizkiyahu. Now, however anybody has ever explained this, and there's an important parish detail by Shmuel David Lutzato, who's a 19th century scholar, who was aware as much as anybody how important it is to explain this in a polemical manner, that is, because they always had to respond to Christians who say this is a reference to Jesus. I think we did a good job with the virgin pasuk. Right? The thing we must avoid, of course, most is to say, because we also believe in a human messianic deliverer, right? That deliverer is not divine. Once you refer to that deliverer in divine terminologies, then you're running into Jewish heresy. Moshe was not divine. Right. I understand there are sources in the Zohar and even in Chazal that refer to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai as Hatana HaEloki. And in fact, if you've ever been to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's kever up in Meron, that's what it says at the gate. Hatana HaEloki. All right. I never go there. I don't like going there. I went there about 20 years ago, and I told the tour guide, Nira li shema shehem osim keneged hachok. It looks to me like when people are praying there, they sing, Shimon, 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 please, please, my son is not well. But that's Dori Shalmason. You can't do that. You can say in the schus of Shimon Bar Yochai, maybe we say that at funerals all the time. We don't go to Kever Rochel to beg Rochel to pray for us. I know there's a fine line here, because if that's what you're doing there, better not to go. That's why the Rambam says, Nilchus Avelus, we shouldn't make big, big tombstones for famous people, lest others go there. And it says, Mitzvah Dishtateach B'Kibrei Tzadikim. It does say in the Sefer Tanya that it's a mitzvah to go and stay around the Kvaros of Tzadikim, which is why we go to Kever Rochel and Chevron and these places. There are tours all over Israel for these places, especially up north, near Tzfas and Tver. But you have to be careful what you do there, what you think you're doing there. We want to make sure that no one reads these eight words, chas v'shalom, conflating the human with the divine. And if it says in Meron, Hatan Haloki, I think it's no different than Bette Midler. You ever hear of Bette Midler? She's a singer. You know what they call her? The Divine One. That's her name. It's her nickname. Doesn't mean that someone thinks that she's a goddess. Although some people refer to humans, oh, she's a goddess. She has goddess attribute. You know what I mean. They're just being facetious. Right? Otherwise, to refer to the Tanah Eloki is heretical. Jews have spilled a lot of blood over whether this is talking about a human being or a divine person. So most of our Mephoshim say, okay, these look like they have divine names attached to them. You see El, you see Aviad, everlasting, what human being lives ever there forever. Right? The Prince of Peace means that while usually the alternative to surrender is war, if you don't retreat and risk, you kind of got to start spinning the dice. Yeah? In this case, the alternative to surrender was victory without fighting, as Hosea said. As Yeshayahu said in chapter 36. God has insider information always. He's the Peleoids. He knows. He knows what's brewing in the Assyrian camp. He knows the men are already starting to see rashes all over their bodies, and they're starting to get these painful rashes in their throats. And within 24 hours, every single one of them is going to die from a very painful virus. Before anyone has a chance to shoot one arrow into Jerusalem. Okay. However, there are some who try to explain that all four of these are Chizkiyahu. That's Ibn Ezra. Okay? Shaddai was worried about that, because once you say that all four of these names are human, then the Christian sort of feeds into the Christian hand. Really? El Gibor is a human? Okay. You say it's Chizkiyahu, we say it's Jesus. Shaddai was sensitive to it. He was worried, how could El Gibor refer to a human being? Why would Yeshayahu call him that? Excuse me, what is the guy's name? Chizkiyahu. Isn't that what El Gibor means? Alright, I might have preferred to call him Gabriel. You see what's happening? And who says that El definitely refers to God? I put a dash there in case it does. But El, come on, Elohim refers to some people in the Tanakh. Adar Elohim Yavod Varshnehem refers to a judge. Right? The word El, Yesh La'el Yadi, always represents some kind of strength. That's why El Shaddai always translated as God Almighty. So if his name is Chizkiyahu, Chazak is parallel to Gibor, and Yud Kei is parallel to Aleph Lamed. What's the problem here? And Aviad, come on, says Shaddai, or Ibn Ezra first. When David tells Bathsheba, your son Shlomo will be the next king. Remember her response? It's the Torah of Parshas Chayesara. She says, Yechi Adoni HaMelech La'olam. She talks to him in like Lubavitch terms. That sounds like Lubavitch saying, right? Yechi Adoni HaMelech La'olam. What do you think she meant by that?
May the king live for like something like that.
Okay, what do you think she meant by that? The king is 70 years old. He probably has another few weeks to live.
At his kingdom?
Yeah, may your reputation, may your, or maybe for a good long time, right? When Chana says, "God, if you give me a son, I will have him serve you Adullah. I think that means he's going to live forever. It could mean in that case for the rest of his life. Or when the Eved Ivri works Adullah in Parshas Mishpatim 2 weeks ago, right? Does that mean forever? It doesn't even mean for the rest of his life there, according to the traditional commentaries. Rashbam says, "Lefi pshuto kol yemei chayav." But no one says it means forever. So what does Aviad mean? He's our father for a good long time. Right? I think Rav Goldberg has a son named Aviad. Okay? I don't know if he spells it with a dash or he spells it as two names like Ben Sion or something, but he spells it, it knows his name. Okay? All right, so then we're left with Peleoids. Oh, well, here is our hook. Here is our hook. What do I mean by a hook? If I wanted to say that all four of these names are for the Chizkiyahu, if I have one that's really convincing, then I can work with the others. Right? I feel I have to give you an example of this. You know, on Avinu Malkeinu, we ask God that you inscribe us into 5 books. Right? Right? The first one is Chaim Tovim. The second one is Nigeula. Shlema, I think. Let me just get there. You love Yeshua, of course. You love Yeshua. The third book is Parnasah v'Chalkala. Fourth book is Zechuyot. Fifth book is Slicha u'Mechila. Okay? 5 books. What else has 5 books?
Torah.
Is it possible that the Novena Malkeinu were begging God to inscribe us as if though we're, since we're the people of the book, make sure that we derive all the best messages of all the books of the Torah? Now that's a cute thing, 5 books here, 5 books there. Which one of these 5 is your hook?
The second one?
The second one, of course, absolutely. Second one, Exodus. Now, once you have your hook, you say, wow, that's pretty convincing. Then you might want to say how you can really fudge your way to the other 4, because they're not going to. This is called Sefer Yosher in Chazal, so it's Chaim Tovim. You know, all right. But you know what I'm saying? You have to have your hook. So your hook is that in Divrei Hayomim, when we're going through all of these, what do you need from someone when there is a grand debate in a people? Should we make peace? Should we surrender? Should we fight it out? Should we rely on God? Should we do our best in Ishtadlus? What should we be doing now? What does a people need when that stuff is going on? A Yoetz. Mazeh, a Yoetz meaning someone who can articulate, formulate a convincing argument. Now, a king usually does not have to articulate an argument because he can just pick up a scepter and say, this is my command, this is my decree, right? Okay? But it does say in Divrei Hayamim, look at the board carefully. Vayi vo'eitz Chizkiyahu. You know what? It doesn't even matter what the eitzah was. I have a verb, for goodness sakes, of Chizkiyahu giving Eitzah to the people. That's it. What's a Pella after all? A Pella means wonders. Why is a miracle called a pele? Because it's one, it's open, it's obvious to all. Everyone can see. Right? That's what the word nace means. Nace is a banner. Unisi, when Mano sleeps, it's a banner. It's something for all to see. So it's what a pele is, right? Okay? It's clear. The zero cell of a flaw. The zero has to be clear and obvious. It can't be left to any doubt. Right? So once I have Vayivayetz Chizkiyahu at the end of the Abraham Bet, so the Pele Yoetz, I think, is my hook that this is not just the last word as Chizkiyahu, which is easier to accept, all four names of Chizkiyahu. What about these two names, Abiyatz El Gibor, which seems to be divine? Okay, well, I just spent the last 5 minutes before that explaining that. Okay, you hear it? El Gibor is what Chizkiyahu means, for goodness sakes. Right? Okay, does everybody here feel comfortable applying these four names to Chizkiyahu? Right? The other approach, there are other approaches, but I just want you to know these two. One, that the first three names refer to God, and he is Sar Shalom. Right? Since I feel that you can grasp this and handle this, there's a pasuk that's not too similar to this, but there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, chapter 23. Yirmiyahu 23. Where he talks about a savior. Right? Okay, and the Savior's name is a Tzemach Tzadik. And we talked about the messianic individual being a Tzemach Tzmicha, it grows slowly, right? Okay, so he says, speaks about this salvation. It's a salvation that will come slowly in stages. Right? It says, Biyamav. So Biyamav means it's a person. Right? In his days. It's not God. God is everlasting. So you wouldn't say in God's days. It's a person. Biyamav tivasha Yehuda, Yisrael ishkod labetach. Sounds familiar. That's what we say at the end of the bracha for Israel and Shul and Shabbos. Biyamav tivashay Yehuda, Yisrael nishkon lebetach. Zeshmo asher yikro'o Hashem tzidkenu. V'zeshmo asher yikro'o Hashem tzidkenu. This is the name that God, Hashem tzidkenu, shall give him. I can tell you, someone like Rashi should avoid what he actually says, like the plague, but this is how I understand it. God in the pasuk before referred to the messianic figure as Tzemach Tzadik. For goodness sake, Zechariah mentions Mashiach's name as Tzemach. Zechariah, 70 years later, certainly understood that Yirmiyahu was saying the messianic name is Tzemach. For good reason. It's not something that just falls from the sky. It's Tzmicha. Reishis Tzmicha is called the same. Es Tzemach Tavid Abduchamer is a Tzmicha for that reason. But then it says, Vizeh Shmo Asher Yikra'o Hashem Tzidkenu. This is the name that he will be called by God, Hashem Tzidkenu. What's the name? Tzemach Tzadik, which is plain Tzemach, right? Rashi says something I get to incomprehensible. I don't get it. Why do I say incomprehensible? Because it's the way that Christians explain this verse. Look at it. They say, this is the name that God shall give him, Hashem Tzidkenu. No! Our Savior is not divine. Our Savior is a human being like Moshe, like any other one of us. I think the reason why Rashi did this is because it's the Torah. targeting this one. I should think a Jewish commentary should avoid such a parish like the plague, especially since it feeds into the hands of the Christian. But it's also, I have another Novi who understood this name is not this name, Dashet Zidkenu. The name is Tzemach. It's a real problem for me. I don't know. I just had to bring it out there because, full disclosure, you didn't have to know Yirmi Ochav Gimel and the problems that Rashi brings up. But in light of our names here, what was the name of this person, right? I just wanted to mention there's another prophet in Tanakh that talks about the name of the character. That's Yirmi Ochav Gimel. Zechariah Gimel says that's explicitly his name, Tzemach. All right? So let's leave it at that. Okay, the next pasuk, I'm going to just close today's lecture with next pasuk, pasuk Vav. It's a nice long pasuk. And it has a Masoretic anomaly that is unique to this pasuk in the whole Tanakh. Can you see it in your... It's part of Haftorah, and I see people making mistakes on this pasuk, on this word. Look at the first word in the pasuk. What is it?
Limarve.
Yeah, but...
The mem is a
mem sofit. Yeah, mem sofit is supposed to be only sofit, right?
Yeah.
Mem in the middle of the pasuk is supposed to be open. So when this is haftorah, it's the haftorah of Parshas Yisro. I see people relating lesarbe hamikra hamisur. There's no Hebrew word lesarbe, but it looks like a samach. It looks like a strange kind of samach, right? But I know that there's not supposed to be a letter that looks like that in the middle of a word. So it's the only place in the Talmud and Sanhedrin. You see the Toldos Aharon. You can see Sanhedrin Tzadik Dalet. So the Targum, I'm sorry, the Talmud takes note of this Masoretic anomaly, where Yeshayahu is begging for the burden of God to be, the burden of our struggles to be sent by God to end this suffering. We have no kates, there's no end to our suffering. We need shalom. Where is the end, God? Can you prepare this for us? We'll give you tzedakah and mishpat.
Writing, it's hard to convey. It's so beaten talking.
Well, that's because the ultimate way that he puts this down. I assure you, the day he said this, this wasn't in writing, like your questions, of course. But the message is, according to Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Dalet, get this, maybe you've heard this before. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos Chizkiyahu Mashiach V'Sancheriv Gog U'Magog. Gog U'Magog was not two sides fighting with Israel in the middle. No. It's Gog Melech Magog. In fact, the words Gog U'Magog don't even appear in the Bible. It's Gog, the king of Magog. It's one nation fighting against Israel. Who that nation is over time, well, you know, we have to, this is a class, Yechezkel or Daniel, I might get into that. And if there's reason later on the semester, we will discuss it. But right now, the Gemara just says that Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach. Only what stopped him from being Mashiach? You see, Mashiach starts with the letter Mem. It's open. It's Chizkiyahu. He saved us. He held out. You want to bring Mashiach? You've got to have his moral balance and moral equilibrium and his moral courage to stand up, even in light of the fact that most Jews at the time felt this is suicide to hold out against the Assyrians. We are certainly not here today if he had surrendered. Now, of course, we would be here because Hashem promised us we'd be here, so that's why he didn't surrender. But, you know what I'm saying, right? Hashem appointed David king after Shaul. That doesn't mean that David could go to Shaul and say, try to kill me. Right? You can't. God appointed the king. No. David hid from Shaul. He had a strategy for, you know, survival. Right? Okay? So, if the mem is open, Chizkiyahu can slip out and become Mashiach. It's almost like childish. So the Gemara says that Hashem, right, put Chizkiyahu into the mem, so Chizkiyahu is in trouble. He can't get out. He's right. Okay, so that's the Gemara. That's why God closed this mem in the middle. Now, are you curious to hear why God didn't make him Mashiach? So it says, because the night that all those Assyrians died, and he came out to the morning expecting an onslaught, or worried about an onslaught, and he saw they're all dead, he didn't send Shirin. He didn't thank God for it. An amazing salvation, and you didn't thank God. Not only that, they went and took all their horses, they went and took all their armor, they became a powerful nation now. Right? A good question to ask is, how does the Gemara know that Chizkiyahu didn't sing Shira? You're right, it's not in the Torah, but in the text. But how do we know? How do we know he didn't? Maybe he did. The Torah did. It's not, just doesn't record it. An interesting exegetical point. Listen carefully and grasp it. Get it. After this story, God tells Chizkiyahu, you're going to die soon. I'm going to die soon? I'm not even 40 yet. What did I do to die this young? He was 39 at the time. And he said, you're just going to die, says Yeshayahu. That's what God told me. And Chizkiyahu starts screaming and crying and begging. And Hashem, Yeshayahu comes back to him the next day and he says, God heard your prayer. Like he heard your prayer about Yerushalayim. You'll live another 15 years. He lived to be 54. Right? God heard your prayer, you'll live another 15 years. He goes through such a litany of Tehillim and thanks. So the fact that the Tanakh records his profuse gratitude and Shira when he was given personally 15 years, but it doesn't say a thing about what he said when Yerushalayim was saved, lends us this impression that he did not sing Shira. I usually use this Gemara Rush around the time of Yom HaTzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim in order to say, you know, you have different approaches of how Hallel, you have Hallel, full Hallel, Bracha, no Bracha. At least acknowledge that what happened in 1948 and 1967 is a grand turn towards God's favor of his people. Can you at least acknowledge that? When there was a new high school opened up in Manhattan, they wanted my daughters to attend. They would have been in the second, one would have been in the second graduating class, one would have been in the fourth graduating class. And they invited them to attend a play. They only had ninth grade at the time. The play that the ninth grade put on was an historical play from the Churban, straight through history of Nebuch, the terrible things that have happened to us, and the fact that in the 20th century, they had this all in the timeline, in the program, 20th century, two events have taken place that show that God has dramatically turned in our favor. What are those two events in the 20th century?
End of the Holocaust. Then maybe when Israel was
established. Yeah, the UN establishing Israel.
Okay, first one they had was the Daf Yomi was established. I don't mean to put down the Daf Yomi, I've been through the Daf 10 times, although I got a quicker schedule than they are, but the second one was not even Yerushalayim, the second one was that we were able to take over Madison Square Garden to have a seum of the Daf Yomi 14 years ago. So.
Should have had Rick Tights putting that Torah on the radio.
I don't mean to downplay Torah, but so we'd end up not sending our kids to that school for that reason. How could you not look? It's a worthwhile play. It's a worthwhile timeline. But how could you not at least look at one of these? You want to do Daf Yomi and Yerushalayim, Daf Yomi and Independence. Who would be able to have the Torah, the amazing Torah we have in Israel today, if Iran or someone else was running, or the Turks were running Israel, right? It was so over the top that I considered it like this Gemara. Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach, but when you don't thank God for when he's showing you his open hand of salvation, and you don't consider this to be something to at least be thankful for, then I'm sorry, I'm going to close the mem of Mashiach. Right? So it's sort of a little downer to end the class this way, but so I want to end, go with an upper. Radak, leave it to the Radak to find this. The Radak found the exact opposite phenomenon. What would be the opposite phenomenon of this Masoretic anomaly? Want to talk to me?
So where we're in, M is opened up at the end of the word?
Exactly. Okay. It says that when Nehemiah came to check the walls of Jerusalem to see if they were destroyed, and to what extent they were destroyed, could I rebuild them? It says, "Vehi sover et chomot Yerushalayim, asher heim prutzim." There's a quick sieve here, but that's how it works. Asher heim prutzim. This is Nehemiah Bet Yud Gimel. "Vehi sover et chomot Yerushalayim, asher heim prutzim." The walls of Jerusalem have been breached. They're still breached. We have to knock them down and start over again. So, you want closed walls. You want open Mashiach. Right? But we switched them. The walls are open, and Mashiach is closed. So the Radak wrote in the 13th century when Jews were in a really, really bad way throughout Europe. The Radak wrote in the 13th century, although he lived in Spain where it was a little better but until the Inquisition came around. But he says that our job is to switch them. Bring the mem to open mem that's in Nehemiah to Yeshayahu. Bring the closed mem that's in Yeshayahu to Nehemiah. So he says this writing in the 13th century, when Jews are responsible for opening and closing the walls of Jerusalem, which means that Jews can determine who comes and goes to Jerusalem, that's when we know we are in the process of opening the Mem of Mashiach. I have no doubt that in light of writing that, the Radak would agree that in today's world, today's time, we are in the process of Reishis Tzmichas Geulas. I close on a high note. Okay, I'll do it for today. Shkoyach, everyone.